May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn number 719. 719. Come, ye Christians, sing the praises of your condescending God. Come and hymn the holy Jesus, who has washed us in his blood. We are poor and weak and silly, and to every evil prone. Yet our Jesus loves us freely, and receives us for his own. Hymn 719.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word. Teach us to pray. O Lord God Almighty, Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. Help us now. Favour us with a few moments' access by faith to the mercy seat. Lord, we thank thee that there is such a seat, that thy throne, Lord Jesus, is the mercy seat, and thou hast sprinkled that mercy seat with thine own blood, as it was in the type of the Old Testament dispensation, a blood-sprinkled mercy seat. And we come, Lord, pleading that blood, which did once for sin atone. Lord, grant this evening that we may by faith catch a glimpse of yon lovely man, the altogether lovely. Oh, we pray, may we know by faith the loveliness of Christ. Speak, Lord, with thy lovely voice. Show thy lovely countenance. O Lord, convey to us thy lovely righteousness, thy lovely holiness. Sanctify us, Lord. Be our sanctification. O Lord, that we might be new creatures. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Oh, do Holy Spirit come down upon us. Enable one to preach. Enable each of thy people to hear. Clothe the word with divine power, we pray. Lord, all is of thee. Salvation is of the Lord. To Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to save our souls, thou art all concerned. Oh, we pray then, Almighty God, in the name of thy dear Son, on account of his person, his finished work, thy good pleasure in him, send thy Spirit down to reveal the Son. Lord, to apply the blood to our consciences, to our hearts. Lord, to soften us, to cleanse us. Oh, to renew us. Lord, we've nothing of our own to plead. We thank thee for the truth that we need nothing of our own to plead. Lord, make us willing to be saved by grace. Strip us of all our fancied meanness, to approach the dread I am, to see all meekness centering in the worthy Lamb, and adoring, bless his Godhead, blood and name. Make thy name, Lord, tonight as ointment poured forth. The virgins, thy people, may love thee. O Lord, 'tis only by thy good ointments that thy people can love thee. Thy graces, blessed Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit we read is love. Oh, let that love be granted. Lord, may we feel in our heart that love shed abroad by the Holy Ghost given unto us. And Lord, we pray whatsoever it pleases thee to do unto this people, seeing thou knowest what each one of thy people needest done, do thou it, we pray. We plead thy word, I will work. And who shall let it? We pray with Moses, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Hear prayer once more for this people. Lord, go on to be gracious to them. Lord, do have mercy on those whom thou hast brought to see and feel in some measure the impossibility of their case. O Lord, do show them in experience, Lord, that with Thee there is nothing impossible. Do Thou it, we pray. Lord, oh, do help them to lie as beggars at Thy footstool. Oh, bring us there, each one of us, Lord. For we read it was the beggar who was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, into Thy immediate presence, Lord, in heaven. Lord, we pray, help us to beg our way along. Help us to depend on Thee. Lord, turn our eyes away from vanities. Everything is vanity, Lord, in comparison to Thee. Lord, we pray for the reality. Lord, to know Thee. Oh, we beg for this people. Grant them and oneself that increasing saving knowledge of the friend of sinners, the Saviour. O Lord, by blessed faith, living experience, Lord, let us hear Thy voice. Let us see Thy countenance. Lord, let us feel the influence of Thy love upon us. Lord, oh, do guide and direct these people in every step, as a church, Lord, and individually. We pray for them the fulfillment of Thy promise. I'll give you pastors according to mine heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and with understanding. We pray, Lord, for their deacons, Thy servant, Lord, that chairs their meetings, and each one that fears Thee in the congregation. O blessed Spirit of truth, unite them together in one blessed purpose, the glory of God. Oh, what we pray for this church and people here, we pray for Thy church everywhere. An outpouring of Thy Spirit, that uniting Spirit. Lord, that Spirit of truth, that Spirit of grace, that Spirit of faith, that Spirit of love, that Spirit of supplications. Lord, oh, we pray again for afflicted ones. Be very merciful and gracious. Aged ones, Lord, the mud-walled cottage is shaking. Oh, have mercy on them. None of Thine shall perish, Lord. We pray for the calling and the establishing of Thy people. Lord, Thou said they shall come. Other sinners here, Lord, on the brink of eternity, there are, we all are. Lord, fulfill Thy promise. Fulfill Thy covenant engagement. The ransomed of the Lord shall return. They shall come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, fulfill Thy promises, we pray. The glory of Thy name, the salvation of Thy people. Bless the families. Help them each. Protect the children. Bless the seekers among them. Fulfill Thy promise. They that seek Me early shall find Me. Lord, may the bleating of the lambs be heard in the fold. Add believers to this church. Lord, everywhere. comfort thy bereaved people. Be the husband to the widow, the father to the fatherless. Lord, the restorer of the breach, the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the powers to walk in. Oh, we pray, do not let us make paths for us to walk in. Oh, we pray, save us each from homemade paths. Grant us God-made paths. Bless thy people, Lord, to stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths and walk therein. Thou said ye shall find rest for your souls. We thank thee for all thy mercies to us. Truly it is of thy mercy we're not consumed. We thank thee, Lord, where there are those of us that can testify of impossibilities done by thee. Lord, we've still got them and shall have right down to the end. And Lord, what an impossibility that will be, but it isn't with thee. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Oh, we do plead for thy troubled people. Lord, might it please even this night to hear them in the day of trouble. Defend them, O blessed God of Jacob. Send them help from the sanctuary. Strengthen them out of Zion. Lord, begin or carry on the work of thy grace in thy people. And we pray for those that have mountains before them. Lord, help them. Thou hast said, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. And Lord, it did. Oh, may thy people see their mountains raised to plains. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 698. 698. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? Hymn 698.
Thank you.
in dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you again to the word before us this morning, the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 19. The last sentence in verse 26, but with God all things are possible. The whole text was from 24 to 26. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. He spoke this morning of how the full, the complete interpretation of these words concerning the camel and the needle's eye must be a literal one. For whereas a camel could be through man's exertions put through the needle gate of Jerusalem, no man can by his own exertions or the exertions of others enter the kingdom of God. It is impossible. And the conclusion therefore must be that if any man is to enter the kingdom of God, the whole of his entrance must be the work of God from beginning to end. And it is. God has promised he will do it from beginning to end. Jesus Christ said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And of course, he is everything in between. This evening, as the Lord may help me, this word remaining on my spirit, I hope the Lord will enable me to say a few further things, particularly as I say from this sentence in verse 26, but with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. We must consider firstly, when the Lord Jesus said all things are possible, he was speaking of all things that are good. The apostle in writing to the Hebrews speaks of one thing that is impossible with God. It is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible to God, for God to do anything that is unholy. It is impossible for God to do anything contrary to his holy, perfect mind and will. And all things are possible with God. I thought of those words that we read in the first chapter of Luke with regard to the conception of John the Baptist, and of course that is in connection, in the context of the conception of the Holy Child Jesus. Elizabeth conceived first of a natural husband. She was barren. With God, nothing should be impossible. We see in the context of our text John Baptist was necessary in the will of God as a forerunner, the Lord's messenger. And we read of him, he had the Holy Ghost upon him while he was in his mother's womb. With God, nothing should be impossible. No man would enter through the needle's eye were it not for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can there be a sinless man? There must be, or there will be no men in heaven. The Holy Ghost should come upon thee, said the angel Gabriel to Mary. Therefore that holy thing which shall be formed in thee should be called the Son of God. Oh, what an impossibility. There shall be a man who is God. The Son of God shall become man. With God all things are possible. It is done. And thereby, every one of the Lord's people shall enter through the needle's eye. I thought of Matthew 25, the parable of the foolish and the wise virgins. How is it that any among them are wise? God hath made his son wisdom. His son has spoken, O ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Isn't that how they entered? Then they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. The only way through the needle's eye, my dear friend, is with Christ. Then that which is impossible with men is done by God. Oh, poor sinner here this evening, with the impossibility of your soul's salvation. God's love to his people. He must make this possible. To make it possible that the people who hate him should love him. The people who are unholy should be made holy. The people who are sinners might be made clean, saints. The people who deserve hell should be given heaven. The people who are unrulable by any other way shall be made rulable as God gives them, appoints them a king who is able to rule them. That they who in themselves cannot be accepted by God. They who in themselves are black as the tents of Kedar, should be in Christ as the curtains of Solomon. That they whose sins are as scarlet and as crimson should be made as white as snow and as wool. Now is it? It centers in God sending his dear son. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. and how this blessed way in which God saves his people, how this blessed way in which he performs in their life, in their soul and in their circumstances, he performs the impossible. He redounds to his glory and honour altogether. And a particular thought came to me regarding this. The disciples asked this great question, who then can be saved? With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The liberty that the Lord grants unto his people in this way. The truth that with men it is impossible. Does it not, in God's grace and mercy and his sovereign power, does that not deliver them? Are they not freed when this truth is made known to them? Freed from the responsibility of every single part of their salvation. Peter says, doesn't he, in his first epistle, the 5th chapter, casting all your care upon him. When a person is enabled to do that, it's the beginning of gospel liberty. When they are enabled to cast their care upon him. Is there a burdened sinner here tonight? And that the burden of your sins, the burden of your path, the burden of these things the Lord has laid upon you. And you feel well nigh crushed under it. To you, poor sinner, does not Peter's words, God's words through Peter speak, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Tis not your caution, power, or art can save you from despair. You know, one of the things that keeps a poor sinner from entering by the needle's eye is their own attempts to enter. With all your working, with all your striving, the entrance by the needle's eye gets further and further from you, doesn't it? How dear Senec proved it. He could see the needle's eye. He could see he was a sinner. There's no way I can get through that needle's eye. A sinner like I am. He strove against sin's power. But the more he strove against sin's power, he sinned and stumbled, but the more. And so he would have stayed outside that needle gate, perished in his sin. But God loved him. Christ died for him. And the Holy Spirit brings the words of Christ with power to his heart. Till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way through the needle gate. He is the needle gate. He is the way. You see, Mr. Senek there, how blessedly, how clearly, how simply he states what the Lord did for him. It's us that are complicated. Paul says, doesn't he, to the Corinthians, I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, ye may be beguiled from the simplicity that is in Christ. When Christ says, come hither, soul, I am the way, with the power of his voice, they said, didn't they, when Jesus was here on earth, even those officers that were sent by the Jews to listen to what Jesus was saying and observe what he was doing. And they went back to their rulers and they said, never man spake like this man. How those people in the days of the Lord's flesh here on earth, how they proved the truth that with God all things are possible. They again and again were led by the Spirit to bring their impossibilities. Think of that centurion with his servant. As he comes to Jesus, the Jews try to get in on the matter. Saying to the Saviour, he is worthy because he loveth our nation. He hath built us a synagogue. But the Holy Spirit in the heart of that centurion taught him something different. I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be made whole. And that request was granted. And Jesus said, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That was the work of the Holy Spirit in that centurion. Do you covet that man's religion? Do you realize you're not like that man? And do you realize this is the great hindrance? Well, whatever is the hindrance tonight, with God, nothing should be impossible. What you and I need is the work of God in our heart. That travail we read of in Isaiah 53 this evening. Well might the eunuch say, ask, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? But Philip had been sent by the Holy Spirit that this poor man, rich, naturally, he was treasurer of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He was a rich man. But he entered. How did he enter? The kingdom of God. God exercised his soul. God made him truly to thirst for salvation. God made him to feel his ignorance. God made him to feel outside. My dear friend, are you feeling outside this evening? An outcast. Cast out of God's sight. Oh, how graciously the Lord speaks to such. We mentioned Jonah this morning. He passed through the needle's eye. From the belly of hell, he passed through the needle's eye into the kingdom of God. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. How is it possible, Jonah? For you were cast out of God's sight to be in his sight. How is it possible for a man who professes to be a servant of the Lord, but who has refused to obey his master? How is it possible for there to be any restoration? You think of that prodigal son. The Lord sent a mighty famine on that land where he had gone. And he began to be in want. And he said within himself, how many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. But he thought he was no more worthy to be called his father's son. But you see, worthiness has nothing to do with being a son. He was going to say, make me as one of thy hired servants. In other words, he thinks to himself, I have sinned so greatly, I am in such a wretched state, I've offended my father so much, he won't have me. I can't pass through the needle's eye. But oh, that I might get somewhere in that house, even as a servant. But when the father saw him coming while he was yet afar off, and went and fell on his neck and kissed him, he knew he was still a son. He knew his father still loved him. This my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. How is he going to enter the doors of that house? Not in the rags. He's clothed in, he's going to go through with the robe, the best robe of Christ's righteousness. What should he be given as a token of the everlasting love? He should be given a ring without beginning, without end. The Lord shall put it on him. Notice that with regard to the robe and with regard to the ring and the shoes, the Lord does it all. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And what should be provided for him when he enters again into his father's house? A feast. A feast. The hungry poor he'll not despise, nor on the contrite sinner frown. bring forth that fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat, drink, and be merry. Undoubtedly the servants look on in wonder. His son looks on in wonder. Why? It's the interpretation. It's the fulfillment in the experience of this son of the meaning of Jesus' name. His name should be called Wonderful. Wonderful. But with God, all things are possible. Going back to Isaiah 53 for a moment. I think I quoted that text this morning. All manner of sin and of blasphemy should be forgiven. With God, all things are possible. Oh, think of David in Psalm 51. Thou art the man. The conviction. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. I have put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Blood guiltiness is washed away. Job says, doesn't he, though I wash my hands with snow water, so that they be never so clean. God shall plunge me in the ditch so that my own clothes abhor me. With God all things are possible. And when God, my dear friend, by his almighty power brings you to him of whom we read in Isaiah 53, when you are shown by the Spirit, God making the soul of his Son an offering for sin. Seeing his seed prolonging his days. The pleasure of the Lord prospering in his hand. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. All things. Without me, said Jesus, ye can do nothing. Nothing. Now, the flesh, when it gets hold of that truth, it misapplies it. Beware of that, my dear friend. The soul of the child of God, quickened by the Spirit, when that truth is conveyed to them, they don't go to sleep on it. They don't say, oh, well, there's nothing for me to do then. There is. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. All the exhortations in the Word of God, if we look upon them with our natural supposed wisdom, it would appear as though we can do it, but we cannot. But on the other hand, Natural wisdom therefore says, well then there's nothing I can do. But the child of God is taught to plead those things, to ask God for those graces by which they shall be enabled to walk in the precepts, to obey the exhortations. How impossible for a sinner to come to Christ. But when the Lord with power says, come, they shall. That sinner, with themselves, it's impossible to create the desire. If you know something of the creation of a desire, then you are not a total stranger to this truth, that with God all things are possible. Have you faced a situation in which you seem so utterly lost because you didn't even have a desire? And doesn't the child of God come again and again into that position? The psalmist in Psalm 119 did, didn't he? He says, my soul cleaveth to the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. And when the Lord sends forth his spirit, let me ask you before God, and you reply to God, not to me, this evening. Do you know anything in your soul's experience of God overcoming impossibilities? Even with regard to this impossibility of having a good desire, with God, all things are possible. Oh, when God lays his hand upon you and overcomes all those things that your desires are fixed upon, when God shows you, makes you to feel what is really needed, kindles the desire in your heart. A healthy person has no desire for healing. With God, all things are possible. The psalmist said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And you that are in your souls bemoaning this day your wretched state, your inability to enter, the perceived impossibility, there is a real impossibility with you. The God who has made you feel this did what was impossible to make you feel it. If you this evening are facing, and you're facing this real impossibility, God has already begun to do what's impossible. And many a loving parent, and many a loving pastor, a loving deacon, a loving friend has sought to convince that one who is so blind and so deaf. Especially, my dear friend, is the difficulty brought home when we are dealing with people that have sat under the sand of truth all their days. Those are the most difficult cases. Gospel-hardened sinners, not hardened by the gospel, hardened against the gospel. They've heard it so many times, and rejected it so many times. But oh, yet, it's not impossible for God to send an arrow of conviction into that heart. Because his power is the power of resurrection. His power is the power of giving new life. But with God, all things are possible. I think I've spoken to you before about the illustration of the vice that Rabbi John Duncan used. The two jaws of that vice. One of them I must believe. It's essential I do. And the other one I cannot believe. But God has this sinner in this vice. And Paul speaks of it in one of his epistles like this. They are shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. When it is Almighty God doing the saving, the sinner cannot be too lost. When Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of faith, the beginner and the ender of faith, how is it possible that any one of his people shall not believe? That man and the Lord had showed upon him his miraculous powers, his love and his compassion and his pity, in that he opened his eyes. But then later, he did an even greater work upon him. He asked him the tremendous question, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" The man's response proved that with God all things are possible. His response is the response that God gave him. Otherwise, he would have expressed no interest in the question. Don't the Lord's people know? Don't ministers, don't deacons, don't others know what response they get when a person answers their questions in their own spirit? Either they try to avoid the question altogether, or they profess to know the answer. But the man that Jesus said to, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" he answered graciously, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" What would you answer that question with? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Well, Jesus mercifully answered his request. "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And that which was impossible with that man was done by God. "I believe," and he worshipped him. He entered through the needle's eye. The needle's eye. He entered by faith into Christ. Christ drew him in. You remember, perhaps some of you that are familiar with Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, When finally Christian draws near to that wicket gate that he had had set before him, yon wicket gate, yon shining light, and as he got near, the adversaries hurled in their arrows. And were it not for the fact that the Lord stretched forth his arm and pulled him through, his adversaries would have stopped him entering. My dear friend, in all these things we have set before us, the care, the merciful care of Almighty God. I think of that hymn as when a child, secure of arms, hangs at the mother's breast. Poor child, maternal love alone is that which holds thee fast. Thy parents' arms are not thy own, those that hold thee fast. Thy whole dependence on me fix. You can't do it, can you? You can't do it. You come there, my dear friend. You know, if you could, that would be the entrance through the needle's eye. Thy whole dependence on me fixed. If you could do it, you wouldn't be fixing your whole dependence. If you could make yourself dependent on Christ, you wouldn't be dependent on him. Oh, Lord, make me to depend. But you see, what will the Lord bless his people with, which shall really give them an entrance by the needle's eye into the kingdom of God? He will assure them that he has done the work, he has finished the work for them. I thought of that beautiful couplet of the hymn concerning those who finally enter heaven. Those worthless names which did prevail with him to enter there. You see, what a welcome Christ received when he ascended into glory. Lift up your head, O ye gates, be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. Let the King of glory come in. And when he entered with the names of all his people on his breast. Graven on the palms of his hands, engraven on his heart. And they entered with him. Now that's the way in his people's experience they shall enter by the needle's gate, the needle's eye, the straight gate. When Jesus shows unto them that he is theirs and they are his, that really the entrance has already taken place. For when he ascended into heaven, the people that were upon him, the people that were in union with him when he was in the womb, when he trod this earth, when he was tempted by the adversary, oh, when he perfectly, moment by moment, fulfilled God's law, and when he unspeakably, painfully, sin by sin, made atonement Oh, when he stood there, as sin after sin after sin is brought to justice in his glorious person, and he stood there and paid the debt. It was done. It is finished. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. All things. Just a few things, as the Lord may help me as we come to a close this evening. Some of those things that the Lord shows his people in and through Christ Jesus are possible with him. It's only by Jesus Christ these gracious things are possible. God says of his servant, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth." This is possible. The sinner shall feel and know the forgiveness of their sin. You think of that 500 pence debtor. Jesus said to her, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." The wonder of it. God in the flesh, speaking at his Father's command, the forgiveness of sin. Are you there this evening, my dear friend? I hear about the forgiveness of sins, but it seems so far from me. At least, my dear friend, you're not left to assume it. John Owen, in his work on Psalm 130, he says, "A lot of people might have been in trouble about their sins if they had not assumed they were forgiven." And perhaps you're tempted, you're tried, the devil says, "Oh, you've got to do this to get this forgiveness." Well, there's only one thing that the Lord in his word, and he must tell us to do it with his power. There's only one thing that the Lord bids his people do to get forgiveness. And John speaks it in his epistle. He says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins." This is a blessing that is very little known in the day in which we live. But that doesn't mean it's no longer possible for God to convey it. God doesn't change. He is as able to speak to you the forgiveness of your sins tonight as he did to that woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee. And she was a notorious sinner. She was a 500 pence debtor. The ransom price is nothing less than the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But it's the Holy Spirit. He is the person, the third person in the Trinity, co-equal with the Father and with the Son. It is possible with him to speak that forgiveness into a sinner's heart. The power of sin overcome. We spoke this morning of those darling sins. Sins that are so precious to our fallen nature. Sins that we love. As we said, I think this morning, the Lord's people find they can't overcome them. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Let the Lord show you, my dear friend, what sin cost him, and then you won't love your sins. He says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him, and be in bitterness, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. That stony heart will relent. God promises, this stony heart is not an impossible thing for him. I will take away the heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. What will do it? What can soften hearts of stone but Jesus, precious blood alone? And that enabling to submit to God's will. That submission. How shall it be? Jesus Christ. He walks out in a perfect way. What submission to the will of his Father is. That which he suffered is set forth in his expression to his Father in Gethsemane. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. He submitted. It was impossible for the fallen race of Adam to submit to the will of God. God comes down, becomes a real man, and walks out submission in the nature that couldn't submit, that his people should be given the grace. Oh, let him draw near and speak to your soul. And that rebellion will melt away. Lord, submissive, make us go, gladly leaving all below. Only thou our leader be, and we still will follow thee. A path that the sinner finds impossible to walk out. The Lord Jesus, he trod that path which truly was impossible. But he was God. It wasn't impossible with him. He is God. We go back to that point I mentioned this morning. The poor sinner who says, of all these blessings, how shall I get it? How shall I get it? I don't seem to be able to lay hold of it. Think of that woman with the issue of blood. She heard of Jesus. And she said within her heart, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. That sums up what we need. That gives the answer to this question. How shall I get these blessings? When she heard of Jesus, she knew He was the one that had the blessings to give. And the Spirit taught her what she needed was contact with him. The Lord really makes us want these things. If the Lord really made us want these things, you say, oh, that's a question with me. Do I really want these things? With God, all things are possible. You say, I've got so many things in my life. They're calling me here. They're calling me there. We mentioned Ezekiah's case. No doubt he had many things calling him here and there. But God called him to himself. He said, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And he turned his face to the wall. All the things that were calling him were shut out by God. That wasn't just the fact that he was told he was going to die. It was the special grace of the Holy Spirit. And my dear friend, did he turn his face to the wall in vain? No. Are you oppressed for want of these things? Oh Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Lord, pull me through this needle eye. Lord, whatever thou seest needful for me to be saved, do it, Lord. And Lord, make me willing to be saved in this way. Lord, I've got everything against it. But it's not thy name, Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. These things are possible with God because of his love, love divine, because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his wisdom, because of that work which his Son has so faithfully performed, because of that love which his Spirit has to each of his people. You will find, my dear friend, that whatever men tell you, and whatever your own wicked heart says, there is no substitute for the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost take of the things of Jesus and show them to you, you enter by the needle's eye. And how do you enter? You don't enter because you've got to understand things. You enter by faith, in love. I will cause them to pass under the rod and bring them into the bond of the covenant. Just in conclusion, with God all things are possible. You've spoken principally today of those spiritual things. You think of the way the Lord led the children of Israel. He suffered Pharaoh to harden his heart. He laid upon them plague after plague. And he brought Pharaoh to let them go. And then he brings them to the Red Sea, and it seems as though Pharaoh's going to have them after all. You there this evening, you had a hope that the Lord delivered you. You had a hope that you had a Passover night, your soul's experience. But now, in the way the Lord has led you, you've come to the Red Sea and you see all your enemies chasing after you again. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And the Lord parted the sea to show that with God all things are possible. And again through that wilderness journey, they came day after day up against impossibilities. And when God sends down the manna from heaven, they soon get tired of it. Our soul loatheth this light bread. How are they going to be made to like, to love this light bread? God for murmuring to requite them. Fiery serpents sent to bite them. Lively type of deadly guilt. Joseph Hart says, vain was bandage, oil and plaster. It's impossible with men. A brazen serpent lifted up. That's the way I choose to save. And then going forward in the history of the Israelites, the Lord's return of them from captivity. The decree is given by the king to build the temple. But then the enemies succeed in stopping the work. There's a great mountain. With God, all things are possible. Remember, my dear friend, tonight. It's because with God all things are possible, the work stopped. That was God's will. And those of you here tonight, and you're in that situation, God has stopped the work. When men of spite against us join, the sword is theirs, the hand is God's. That doesn't make God the author of sin. It doesn't make God the opposer of his own work. It makes God the fulfiller of his own purpose. And what is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, who is appointed by God to lead that work? It's this: not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. Grace all the work shall crown. He lays in heaven the top stone, well deserves the praise. But with God, all things are possible. Just one last thought. Am I speaking to someone here this evening? And you see God doing things for others. You You say, why doesn't he do that for me? This God is a sovereign God. He will not save some of his people and not others. But for instance, he gives some of his people a recovery from illness, and some of them he doesn't. He gives some of them an husband, a wife, and some of them he doesn't. He gives some of them children, and some of them he doesn't. He makes the ministry of some of his servants apparently more successful than others. But what he does for each of them is ever best. I remember my late father saying many years ago when he was deacon and one of his fellow church members, a young woman, a middle-aged woman, has had cancer. He felt it laid on his heart one Lord's day to give out that hymn, "With thee it shall go well." And in his mind, he thought he saw this dear fellow church member restored. But it wasn't so. She died. But she died in faith. She was taken by the Lord to glory. And my late father was made submissive to it. When the Lord withholds, on the one hand, it may appear that this truth is being contradicted. With God, all things are possible. But when the Lord uses that withholding to bring that sinner nearer to him, and then he makes them submissive, he's proving in another way that with God, all things are possible. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Adrian Pickett next Lord's Day. And the collections next Lord's Day will be for the Trinitarian Bible Society local auxiliary. Let us close with hymn 669. Poor sinners, sunk in sin's tremendous cell, tormented with the fiery darts of hell, on Jesus call, though wretched be your case, he came the lost to seek and save by grace. Hymn 669.
do grant thy blessing on thy word. We thank thee that with God all things are possible. Forgive all amiss in the services of thy house this day. Grant us journeying mercies, thy presence and help, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.